Good evening, boys and girls. Sorry we're a bit late today. Technical hitch. My name's Graham Blackburn Rovers, and welcome to this week's Naked Football Show. I met a very animated Ray Slegg at Blackpool on Saturday, so we've brought him in to vent his spleen. Good evening, Ray.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. And we have a naked virgin tonight, a guy who's so well known on the website that they named a pub after him, and he is Heathlander.
Good evening.
And making up our cuddly foursome, of course, is our midfield dinosaur, Phil Hand.
Cheers for that, yeah.
Right, as it's that time, we'll devote most of tonight's programme discussing who's likely to dive in or fall out of the transfer window before it closes. So email in with your thoughts or suggestions to the usual address, which is studio@icrfm.co.uk. Or you can text us, of course, on 07973 851 968. And also remember to let us know if you would like to come and join us on the show. So, a predictable non-victory at Blackpool. Raimondo, do you want to start on this one?
Disappointing. I didn't agree with the tactics to start with. I don't know where Mr. Roberts came from to appear on the pitch. I would have started with Alan Lear, Mr. Canago. Horrible day weather-wise. Player sent off. In the end, I guess we'll take a point.
I think that's a fair assessment of it. I mean, it was a surprise that Roberts was given a start, given his sort of lack of performance this season generally. Alan Lee was badly missed, I thought, up front, and clearly the reason he was left out was because of this interest from Burnley, which they may or may not be seeing through. Even if there is a kind of acceptable fee from Burnley, I don't know whether Lee himself would want to go anyway, frankly. I mean, seems to be quite happy around here. So
yeah, I mean, that's what he's, you know, been saying in the papers, that he loves it around here, settled. So moving up northwest, I don't think would be a go for him.
No. I mean, it's not just sort of things in the papers. It's people who kind of know him have kind of intimated that he said that he's settled and has no intention of moving on.
Well, so the one thing about Alan, who we did meet at the London branch AGO in November, he doesn't have an agent. He's his own agent. So he makes his own mind up, he makes his own decisions up, which is interesting these days. Lovely fella, very nice on the night. Whether Jim still holds any sort of grudges about the Dutch trip last year, I don't know. But £900,000 to me, I'm not sure. Yeah. Yes and no.
I mean, if he hasn't got an agent, there's probably a lot more truth in the story than not, because agents are the ones putting out who's going where. And if he hasn't got one, for this story to come out, there must be some truth in it.
Where did the story come from? I mean, I think
it was basically, well, the situation appears to have been that Ipswich wanted Andy Gray and went to Burnley and said, we'll offer you this much plus Alan Lee for Andy Gray. Charlton offered cash, I think 1.5 million for Andy Gray. Town were then told what Andy Gray's terms were, that they went, no, we don't want him. But Burnley then said to Town, well, look, Gray's going to go to Charlton, so, but we'd still quite like Lee. Now, Burnley, having sold their best striker, I think scored 13 goals, which is quite a lot, actually, to Charlton, I think that they then let slip to their local paper and therefore their fans that they were close to signing Alan Lee to kind of placate them. That's how I imagine the story.
So it's not from our end at all.
So I don't think, it came from the Ipswich end in the slightest.
Jim in the paper on Saturday said we've acceptable fee for Alan Lee.
Well, there are quotes that differ, I think, between which paper you read, and I think that they have actually denied the quote. I think it was something along those lines, that there is an acceptable fee.
Yeah, I mean, that was the news of the world.
But, so well, there you go. But he also intimated that, you know, he expected a bid to come in, didn't he? So,
yes.
So you don't know. I mean, on that front, there could be more news. I mean, so far, I mean, the other thing, Blackpool, I mean, generally the performance, I mean, you had quite good fun at Blackpool, I believe. You went to stay with a former Town star.
Well, Mr. Mason still lives and survives. He's got a lovely hotel in Southport. He's very welcoming. We took him out for a couple of sherries on Saturday night and discussed the game, and he came home in one piece, so job done.
Right.
But I would recommend anybody going to Southport, that area, the Gables Hotel, plug for Mason, why not? great place to stay, fantastic. So he's got some good pictures in the hall as well.
What, of his Town?
Of his exploits, yes, exploits, Town pictures. He's still an Everton fan through and through, and he tried to get us to stay for the Sunday afternoon Everton Wigan Bramblania. But we'd have to get
a Titanic struggle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Goes down well.
Yes. He runs his hotel. Is he not playing at all these days or anything like that?
He plays exhibition matches. I think he plays in Old Stars games. He still looks very fit.
Except after a night out with you.
1 o'clock he failed his fitness test. He was put away for the night.
Anything on the wires?
Yes, we got a few. We got one from Derek, who I don't know where he is, and it doesn't say where he is. He's probably just come out of hibernation. Please, could you guys give me some transfer info, as I have no idea what's going on. Yeah. Has he just come back from Blackpool with you, Ray, or something?
Yeah, well, there's I don't know. There's Norris is, of course, the continuing, ongoing saga. Well, does the panel feel that we should continue?
No, I think we've had enough of this. I can understand Plymouth. He is their best player. He's their fans' favourite. And they shouldn't make it easy for anybody to buy him. I understand. I accept all that. But it's going on too long now. It's ridiculous. We've 8 days to go. The Plymouth game is next Tuesday. Maybe a factor, I don't know. I hope it isn't. But if I was, I'd withdraw our offer and say we're moving on.
Pabs and Lee from Whittam to Jim. Time to give up on Norris. Only 8 days left. There you go.
Well, I'm not so sure. I mean, if he's the one Jim wants, and he's obviously seen something that he thinks is really going to add to our team, then keep going. I mean, we've bid literally 1.75 million. Go for 2 million. Just really push it and try and get him here.
Another one from the USA from Scott, who also thinks we should move on from the Norris thing. So people are obviously getting a bit fed up with this. So he's going to have to do something the next day or two, I imagine.
Well, do you seriously think that David Norris will be at Plymouth on February the 1st?
No, I don't. I mean, once he's said he wants to go, that's it, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, Ray?
Well, he's an unhappy player. He's got a transfer request.
Well, this is it. Yeah.
I think Plymouth are now playing silly games.
Yeah.
I mean, at Ipswich Town, the proviso always has been, if you've got an unhappy player, let him go.
Mm.
You don't want unhappy players. Full stop, end of. But Plymouth now seem to be stretching it out into silliness. And they should be told, we're not going to be taking any longer for a ride. We've got players to get in. Plymouth have just signed a Hungarian this afternoon, I believe, another Hungarian
midfielder.
Sorry,
what was his name, Ray?
Grigori Sandal from Wipes Dosa. So they've got a good Hungarian link there. So whether that's another chink in the way forward for Norris to leave, I don't know. But we could build for Halmosi. He's another very good player.
Yeah.
Move to Halmosi, that's right. Go for him. If you don't, you know. But the Norris thing is becoming a bit of an embarrassment.
But do you think that Plymouth are basically just trying to... I mean, Norris goes and says... I want to transfer, you know, because they're clearly they've set his price at a level where he thinks.
But he never asked for a transfer, did he? But not originally.
Not originally. It was only last week.
It was almost like he was pushed into the look. You better ask for a transfer, please, Mr. Norris.
Yeah.
Just go. It was almost like he said he didn't want to go, but now he's been forced to go. I think he's gone too far now.
This is what I mean. But do you think Plymouth are now in a situation where because they've let Ebanks, Blake, and Hales and that young lad whose name I can't think of who's gone to
the fullback,
that they're kind of now trying to be seen to their fans as not being the soft touch that they've shown themselves to be so far in the transfer window by digging their heels in on Norris despite knowing that, you know, he wants to go. Ultimately they're going to probably have to accept a fee for him now because his value will drop so much more once it gets to the summer and he's only got a year left on his deal, that they really, you know, come next week and the window coming down and the offers coming in, they're going to have to say, OK, we'll accept that.
I mean, it's a dangerous game for them because they'll get, if they say get £2 million 31st of January, they won't be able to spend it, whether they want
well,
to
that's,
spend it.
But there again, that they've got money in the coffers anyway because of they've sold all these other players. So the money that they've got coming in now is presumably money they're not going to spend on players in January. It's probably to kind of cover any shortfall in cash they've got because of their low attendances and all that kind of
stuff. Well, they've signed one from Aberdeen, haven't they? They've signed one guy from there last week.
Clark.
If this Hungarian bloke signs, which is imminent this afternoon according to Plymouth website, if he's that's two midfield players they've bought in.
And they've gone for Glenn Whelan as well, haven't they? They had a bid turned down for Glenn Whelan,
so,
apparently.
But they all seem to be doing something. We're left in the lurch. Ipswich Town are left in the lurch doing nothing. We're waiting around. People are they're signing players, Plymouth, getting players on the books, and we're not able to do anything. And the clock is ticking.
No, but are we? I mean, there's a lot of noise I know about Norris, and then perhaps McCauley. There's a lot of noise about him, but I mean, there could be other stuff going on in the background at the same time.
I'm sure there is.
I mean, when we signed Bruce, there was Harding was being done in the background, I think, and also they were trying to get Noble in, and I'm just thinking of a similar example in a transfer window, you know. I mean, we know that that Jim has been off to Dundee United. Now, we still don't really know who his target was there. I mean, what about McCauley? Do you think McCauley will come in?
I mean, he's probably less likely than Norris because I don't think Leicester need the money. He's played well for them. He's made him captain at the weekend. So I think there's less chance of that. But it's not, again, it's not one that really excites you, because it's, until you heard about it, you had to look him up to see who he was.
I remembered him for those two goals he scored against us last season. But, yeah, he's a solid champion. They're both solid championship players, aren't they? Are they the sort of players you thought that Jim would be targeting in January?
No, I've always said this. You can look at any podcast, and I'll just reiterate it once again.
That's a podcast you look at.
Unless we get a prolific striker, and I mean a prolific striker, and get him on board, we won't go up. We might make the playoffs, but we won't go up. Now, if Alan Lee goes and we make a bid for David Nugent, possibly, and I still think Nugent would do a job in this division and would score goals in this division and would probably get us up. But we need a prolific striker who's going to get goals home and away. And I've said that and I stand by it. And if we don't get one, we won't go up.
About Robert Earnshaw, he's in the reserves.
Got a lot of goals for Norwich. You laugh at that.
No,
got a lot of goals for Norwich in this division. He's going stale, might need a new challenge. Whether the fans would accept him, who knows, where he's been. But he's banging goals in at Portman Road. I'm not too bothered who it is if he gets us in the Premier League.
I'm fairly certain that Jim was after Andy Gray. Would he have been a signing that you'd have approved of then?
Well, he's 30 years old. He's a year older than Alan Lee. He's got less goals than Alan Lee this year, I think. And yet he went for 1.5 million.
Goals
has he got more than 14?
Yeah, and he's got 9,
Alan,
I think.
He's not got 14.
Oh, he's got 14, Alan Lee.
No, 9, I think it is.
Yeah, I think you're right, I think 9, yeah. And 3 or 4 of those penalties. I mean, Alan Lee has this strange thing of mid-season. I think last year he scored one goal in open play between the end of October and the beginning of March. And this year he scored, his last goal from open play was the Norwich game, which I think was the 3rd of November, which is a very strange sort of strange quirk.
I think with Andy Gray, that being 30 is not an issue, because it doesn't matter how old they are, as long as they do a job to get us up, then start again.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It is. I mean, that's, you know, how old was Marcus Stewart? 28 when we signed him? In a sort of similar sort of situation. Another player who was seen as a kind of solid championship goal scorer, whatever the championship was called at that point in time. We must have some more.
Yeah. Well, you have to stop talking to let me get in there.
Well, just shut
up. I can't, because you've got your back to me. You're going to have to face me one day, I think, Phil. We're going to have a face off. Right, one from David Norris, who said, "I'm bored at Plymouth." So there you go. That's good news, isn't it?
Mm. But unfortunately, that's a speedway rider.
Yeah. And he's based in Essex, but he might just be on his way up the A12. We have one, again, from Scott in the USA. This is changing the subject a bit, which is probably a good idea. With the reserves winning 12-1 this week, who from the reserve squad could play for the first team? Is it time to give Jordan Rhodes a chance? I think so, possibly. Give him a chance up front.
I think we have
another one. You carry on. I'll get another one on the same sort of subject.
But I think the important thing to remember about Jordan Rhodes is he's 17 still, which is, you know, he's remarkably young, really, to be kind of making progress into the first team. I don't think he'll make that many starts before the end of the season, but I think he'll certainly have a role from the bench on a regular basis. But overall, the whole team that destroyed the MK Dons. I mean, it was 5-0 after 18 minutes, which is extraordinary, really. I mean, the team that we put out, I think we've put out weaker first teams than that in recent years, because the squad these days is slightly stronger than it was 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, and the MK Dons, really, I think there was one player who had any experience, and he was a trialist. I'm trying to think of his name now. Chap who used to play for Charlton and Wolves and scored in the... Someone will tell us.
He loves me.
Who do you think, then, from the...
Well, I still think Jai Reasons are always going to come through from the youth. I was mentioning the youth last week, a fine performance against Watford. Went a goal down, didn't panic, got back on terms and finished very strong. It was good in a way, sounds rude. Watford collapsed all over the pitch with cramp and not fit. Our boys kept going very, very strong. Mm. Very impressed with the boys. I think Jai Reasons is still my player who's going to come through. But Jordan Rhodes looks a nice size, got 2 goals last week, developing. They're all looking very fit, actually. We look a very fit, big team. Mm. Unusual for Ipswich boys, when they've got a fitness fanatic or a trainer or a gym trainer, whatever. But Watford, compared to Ipswich physically, were very minute.
The funny thing is, Watford had cancelled their game the previous weekend because they've got the Youth Cup match ahead. Whereas Town, I think, played against... Mm. I think we won 4-3 against Portsmouth, which obviously doesn't sound as if it was an easy fixture. So, yeah, they did really well. I mean, Tommy Smith's the other one, of course, that I think he's just been kind of nominated for the Wix Apprentice of the Year or whatever. Yeah, just today.
We got one from old Git. Well, we got many from old Git. This is a this is on the same subject. Get a positive mention in for Jay Reason. So he agrees with you there, for Ray. I know he's a strange shape, but I fancy him. Not in that way. And the unfashionable Murphy. Well, I quite like Murphy.
Murphy, a lot of people were impressed with Murphy. I think it was the first time a lot of people had seen him last week, because he was only his first year academy player striker. And I think he started off playing wide on the right, didn't he, with Jack Ainsley in the middle with Rhodes. But they swapped them round, and I think Murphy, that's when the game really changed, I think. As much as Jay Reason kind of... starting to find his feet, because I think he found it difficult first 15-20 minutes, didn't he? But once he started playing, I think he looked very good.
There's obviously Ed Upson as well.
He's
noted, you know, he's the one who scored the goal in the cup final, and people expecting a lot of him.
Yeah.
I mean, how did he play in the game?
He had a quiet game last week, but I think he's, you know, certainly a lot of people look at him as probably the star of that year, perhaps edging a bit ahead of Reason. I mean, the one that people forget, I like Kurt Robinson as well. I think he's a very good player, the left back. I thought he did very well again.
There's a good bunch coming through.
Yeah.
There's more than one, and it's good to see. So the academy, bless them, are doing their jobs well.
And there's the under-16s 2 years below doing even better.
Well, yes.
Exactly. It's great. Great news.
Put some money on them to win the Youth Cup in 2 years.
Not a bad point. What else we got then?
Okay, we've got this one's from Julian, from a place just over the border. They make mustard. They don't play like mustard. They wear a horrible coloured shirt.
Yeah.
What do you think of Sito's two-footed tackle? I think that sort of thing shouldn't be seen on a football pitch. So I wonder who he supports. Well, that was from Julian.
It wasn't a great tackle, but I don't think it was a malicious tackle. He kind of hurled himself in towards the ball and got the ball, but it was two-footed and it was studs showing towards the player. So, I mean, you could argue that it was a dangerous tackle, and under the current sort of way that the rules are interpreted, then it will be a red card. But I don't think it was anything like, as I'm trying to think of, was it Craig Fleming who once caught David Johnson in the chest with a tackle in the first minute of a derby and avoided a booking completely? Nothing like as bad as that, and certainly not as bad as the challenge in the afternoon in the Everton, was it Everton game or one of the games in Metro that was on in the Premiership? There was a really nasty tackle over the weekend.
I think you've got to feel sorry for Sito, because he probably won't get his place back.
No.
3 games in. I mean, he's only just come back in after a year out. To lose his place to someone else for 3 games, if they play well, he won't be back in.
Well, he would have been sent off six weeks ago. He wouldn't have gone off at all. He may have
I don't know about that.
His feet weren't off the ground, for starters. He got the ball clean as a whistle and took it away, and I knew he'd go off in the present climate. Yeah, but he was two-footed.
It was a lot worse than Trotters.
I mean, I thought it was exactly the same as Alan Garvin's last year against Burnley, or whoever it was, when he got sent off. It was a similar sort of challenge to that. That's how I saw it, anyway.
This one I got through, Alan from Ipswich. Why are we being... This is... Ray might like to agree and come up with another Eastern European name. Why are we being held ransom over Norris, sorry, it's a Freudian slip, when there are so many equally good midfield players playing in Eastern Europe and they would cost half as much? Any ideas who?
My friend's an agent who deals with East European footballers. He keeps sending videos to Ipswich Town, and I don't know what happens to them. He sent one of a Romanian player yesterday to Steve McCall. Whether he gets any notice, I don't know, but what I would hope with this takeover that's gone on, that the scouting network can be set up again abroad, and we get some good quality players from Holland, Bulgaria, Hungary. It seems that people like Plymouth, and how they do it, have got 4 in from Hungary, who aren't bad players, and we just seem to be paying top dollar for players in this country.
I suppose the takeover came so late that they haven't had a chance to, and they want the players in now to get promotion. There's a risk taking players.
Well, they knew it was going to happen. It was going to go through all the time. They're going to come and say, look, somebody in Holland, somebody in East Europe, just look out for good players. We can all sit when we go abroad and watch matches. Mm. We can pick players out.
That it's dangerous on a DVD. I bought Adrian Powers on watching a DVD.
I agree. I'm not saying that that's how you buy a player, but we do need to be more proactive, I think, in getting some of these overseas networks going again and working on our behalf, because we are being held to ransom over Norris. There's no doubt about it, and we are almost looking silly now, and it's getting embarrassing.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's one of these things with Norris. Certainly, the situation with is that Plymouth really don't want to sell him, and they don't want to be seen to be being soft. And I think that's what's dragging the whole thing out. And the other thing, I suppose, is that they don't want to sell him to Leicester because of Ian Holloway. And I honestly can't see it ending with him at Plymouth on February the 1st. He'll be either a Town player or a Leicester player by then, whether it takes another 200,000 or 300,000 on our bid, as you say, Matthew, or whether it... or it's just a case of a bit of kind of negotiation on what bit of the fees, add-ons, and what the add-ons are and all that kind of stuff. I think it's sort of one of these things. It's a slow burner, as they say.
The third,
not even burning.
Yeah, the third bid.
Slow smoulderer. Yeah.
The third bid they've got in, they say they're waiting for a response. They put that in almost straight away, didn't they?
Was that...
And they put a third bid in, haven't they?
Third bid for a third player,
and they say they're waiting for a response. You know,
they're still waiting.
That was last week, wasn't it? What's going on?
Exactly.
Phone up.
Why don't you accept
the bid?
It's probably sitting on someone's desk.
We get the more spin out of this club, though, with my washing machine, the more spin comes out. You're a fan, you're not quite sure what's going
spin
on.
Spin comes through the paper. It's not necessarily what
they're
say.
Fed stories. They're fed stories, and the club will feed them stuff, and they'll go with it because they need to make a story.
The club are less keen to feed stuff through the newspapers than they were. I mean, it's not like 15 years ago where the Evening Star and the Anglian were the only media interested in town. Now you've got kind of, you know, national sports media and all that kind of thing that you didn't have, that are desperate for kind of sports stories, even at the kind of championship level. So, and also, you know, there's websites and all that kind of stuff that are interested as well, and agents kind of, as we said earlier, sort of placing stories here and there to try and gain a bit of interest in their players. It is an intriguing one, this mystery, the third man.
I hope it's a striker. Please make it a striker.
It's a bit of a mystery. I mean, the other thing is it someone abroad? I mean, there's this story about this Estonian fella playing in Norway, him, who's apparently quite highly rated.
We must ask our Norwegian connection. We have many Norwegian fans. We must ask them.
Well, we have got a lot of Norwegian, but then, you know, Jim's sort of got his contacts with players who's played with him at various clubs and things like that he's asked, hasn't he, before? I know that he spoke to, I'm trying to think of the name, they've spoken to Norwich player Nedergaard about his connections in Denmark before, because Steve Foley knew him very, very well from their time at Norwich. So I know they do sort of look in those areas, but I mean, Eastern Europe, I think, is somewhere they should have looked at maybe three years ago.
They went over to Poland, didn't they? Steve McCall went over there.
He went to about four games.
A couple of guys.
Should have been a nice trip. I've had a good fun, good time over there. Nothing came of it.
Just had a text from Steve from Ipswich on the subject, but he thinks we should keep going for Norris because he's a really top player who will add steel to our midfield. Who do you think will go in the summer?
Go in the summer? Blimey. Well, that's... Yeah. I mean,
Bodic, Wilnes for starters. Just two for starters.
DeVos?
Bodic, you think so? You don't think he'll get...
I think DeVos will probably still be here but not playing.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think he'll be the figurehead and stand in for when others are injured.
A club captain sort of figure.
Jim was at the time.
Yeah.
Jamie Peters...
Well, he's got a contract another couple of years, isn't he?
Pity, I wouldn't have given him a 4-year deal, but there we are.
I think that was more to do with the work permit, probably.
No, but I think Peters is just someone who, you know, he's clearly a talented player. He's just lost his way a bit at the moment. You don't know whether he'll find his way. I mean, I would say that potentially he's a better player than Danny Haynes. I know that's a sort of probably
don't
a
agree
controversial
at all.
View.
I don't agree at all.
Better footballer.
No, I've never seen him get past a fullback yet and skin a fullback.
Oh,
in 4 years, I've watched.
I don't think that's true.
No, at Watford he was. Really
he once or twice,
year.
But he's not. He's no way has he got the potential they said he had. Not for me anyway.
Chelsea and Manchester United were after him originally.
I think he's got the potential. I mean, it's there, but it's getting it out of him. I think that's the thing. Yeah. But that's all.
How long do you wait?
Players.
How long do you wait?
Well, we come to back to Dean Bowditch again, don't we? In a way, there. That's another player who's got it all there, but it's getting it out of him at first team level.
Well, has he got it all there? I mean, you say, has he got it all there? Natural players, you know the ones I'm talking about, the Kevin Beattie's, George Burley's, the Terry Butcher's, you see them young and they're good and they stay good and they get better. These youngsters have a lot of good game and they haven't progressed and gone on at all. And we're still paying them. I don't think Bowditch or Will, he won't be around. I think Peters might leave as well. Stonebrook Arrest or somewhere.
Gary Roberts will be on his way as well.
You've got the soft one there.
The problem with Gary Roberts is he's got a contract to 2010, so with Ipswich, and I don't imagine that there are many championship sides or clubs who are able to pay his wages that would be interested in taking him. So I think he could be one of these Amir Carrick type figures that stick around for 3 or 4 years whilst their contract wears down. But, I mean, there's others. I'm trying to think who else is out of contract. Cito's out of contract. Another one is a bit kind of on the...
Richard Naylor, possibly.
No, he's got another year, I think. So, who else is there? Yeah, I mean, of course, the other great unanswered is if we're in the Premiership, it would be a very different situation about who's kept on than if we're in the Championship.
Do you want to quickly talk about our friend George Burley?
Well, should we talk about Alan Quinn for about a minute?
Because we're going to go with Alan Quinn if you want.
What do you think of Alan Quinn? Either of you.
Well, all I know is that the Sheffield website was up in arms on Friday. Their fans were very, very annoyed that he's being allowed to leave. So they're the fans, they know him. If they're annoyed, they're upset, he'd be a good player. Mm. I can't say I remember him having a storming game against Ipswich or on for Ireland, but they're upset, we've got to be happy.
Yeah. Well, Neil Warnock went to Barn for Crystal Palace. I mean, yeah, he came from Sheffield United where he was, so it's obviously, if he wants him back, he's obviously going to be a good player. And 400,000 is still, you know, it's not enough at the moment. We want to spend more, but still more than we've spent for a long time.
You'd rather pay a bigger fee for it.
No, what I'm saying is, people are saying, is that all we've spent? When in reality, we haven't spent that. I can't remember the last £400,000 player we had, probably in the Premiership.
Well, that's probably there's the biggest fee we've paid since the likes of Marcus Bent or whoever came in. Yeah, that's probably true.
So, but that's sort of, we forget that now we've got all this money.
But, I mean, I quite like him. I thought he played well on Tuesday, or Monday rather, whatever day the reserve game was. Although it's difficult to assess when you've got an opposition, you're beating 12-1. But he kind of added a bit of steel. Tigerish, I think, was a word that someone used, which I thought described him quite well. My mate who's a Sheffield United supporter always liked him. He kind of thought he had that kind of, for want of a kind of Sheffield United.
He's
center.
A natural left footer.
Bit
natural
of
left
steel
foot?
About him.
Is he a natural left footer?
Yes, he's a natural left footer, but he can play in the centre and on the left, and I think he's played left back actually on occasion. But he's got
good.
That kind of
good. Yeah,
he's a bit more. What's the word? He's a bit more of a kind of tackling midfielder than we've got now. I think
a Gravesen type. Obviously.
Yeah, more Gravesen than Garland.
Is he the fit Gavin Williams?
Yes, will we ever see a thing?
Right, that's it. That's pretty much time. You haven't got time. You can say well done to George, yeah.
There you go.
Just and in words of just two syllables, score for next Tuesday.
Who are we playing?
Plymouth, funnily enough.
3-0.
3-0.
Peter. Norwich debt goal. I still think
that's,
he might
that's more than three syllables.
3-0 here as well.
Well, I think we'll win 3-0 if David Norris is our player and 2-0 if he's not.
They've actually got a half-decent away record. They've won 5 away games, which is more than us. Anyway.
In the last 3 seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they have. They've won 5 away games this season.
So no,
oh, yeah, well, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Right, time to go. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to all the people who emailed. That's Paul Atkins, Stephen Newman, Old Git again, Owen Thomas, Factual Blue, Mariner, and Evans Forever, who said, bring back George Santos. There you go. So thanks, everyone. Thanks to Ray. Thanks to Heath Landers. Thanks to Phil. I've been Graham Blackburn. Till next week, have a good one. Bye.